Let's turn to James chapter 2 verse 14. I was not able to print the notes because my printer was jamming again and again, so I have to repair it, I think. So you'll have to turn in your Bible. James chapter 2 verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." So here James is coming back to the point of how we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's what we learned in chapter 1. In this case, you know, he's saying he's going a step forward, not only hearing, but this man is also speaking, right? He's hearing and then he's also speaking the right words that about the faith. But he's not doing. So he's again coming back to the same point that just by hearing or saying, we will not be saved at the judgment seat of Christ. Works is over and over again emphasized. You know, what we do with what we hear is emphasized. So in this passage, He's talking about a hypothetical man. A man is saying, I have faith, but he does not have works to show his faith. So James is saying, you know, this is a contradiction. This cannot be true. Basically, this man is lying. If a man does not have works, he also does not have faith. Faith that will save him. And this type of explanation is used several times in the scriptures. Twice we see it in 1 John. John explains in a similar way a man who says that he is having fellowship with God, but he walks in darkness. Okay, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So 1 John 1:6. He's calling this man a liar because he says that he has fellowship with God, but he walks contrary to the word of God and he walks contrary to the nature of God. So he's saying this man is a liar. So really our talk in one sense does not really matter, I think. And you know, that is precisely the example that he's going to talk about. That is precisely what that example means, that talk does not matter. What we do, how we live, how we walk, that reveals our faith. That reveals who we are having fellowship with. Paul told some people in Corinthians that they don't know God. Now, Paul was not in Corinth at that time, but he knew by the testimony of these people. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, "Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." Some have not the knowledge of God. Why did he know that they didn't know God? Because they were sinning. They were not living righteously. 1 John 1 verse, chapter 4 verse 20 also talks about a similar example. This man, he says that he loves God. He says that he loves God, but he hates his brother. Again, John calls him a liar. "For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" So here we see that love is seen. Love is not just words. Similarly, faith is also seen. It's not just words. And just like it cannot be true if a man hates his brother, it cannot be true that he loves God. They have to go together. One cannot exist without the other. So same way, faith cannot exist. It will die. without works. So in this case also, this man is a liar. So, you know, we can say the person in James 4 verse 2 verse 14 is also a liar. He's lying when he says he has faith, but he does not have works. Faith has fruits of repentance. Repentance cannot be separated from faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance is change of behavior. Repentance is good works. Repentance is stop doing what we were doing before and doing what God, the will of God is. And he gives an example in Jesus gives an example of two sons that a man had. But in Matthew chapter 21 verse 28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he said, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, truly I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And he, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards. Repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. Here, you know, the Pharisees did not accept the message of John, and they did not accept the message of Jesus Christ. And this was shown by their action, that they did not repent. They were, you know, they were confessing great things, that they were children of Abraham, that they are the followers of the prophets. They were confessing great things, but they were not changing. They were not repenting towards God. And the point here is repentance. You know, and every one of us need repentance. There is no person that is a disciple of Christ that never needed repentance. We all need repentance. And you know, that is one of the reasons we are here today. And we are listening to the message, that we are continuing in the Word. And we want to learn more, because we need to continually change. We need to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying that this son repented. Repentance is the key. And the harlots and the publicans, they changed. You know, it's not like they continued in their behavior. They changed their ways after they heard about the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the coming kingdom. So it's not like the publicans and the harlots were continuing in their lifestyle. Okay, even after they know Jesus Christ, they were just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus and I believe in the message of the coming kingdom, and they continued living a sinful life. That is not it. That is not what it means. But the majority of the Jews, they never repented. They never repented. And they never bore fruits of repentance. And their point was that they were sons of Abraham, and they don't need repentance, right? In Luke chapter 3 verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And being not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So this is a very perfect example of someone who just says and claims the faith. So these people were claiming the faith of Abraham. They were claiming that we are followers of Abraham. So Jesus basically saying, it really does not matter of whose son you belong to. What it matters is, are you doing the works of Abraham? Are you changing? Are you repenting? So majority of the nation of Israel did not repent. In Acts 20 verse 26 verse 20, in the repentance message is the central focus of the gospel. And over again we see that in the book of Acts. And also towards the end, when Jesus commissioned his disciples to preach unto the ends of the earth. Listen to this verse, Acts 26 verse 20. But but showed first unto them in Damascus. This is Paul talking to Agrippa, King Agrippa. He said, he himself first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So this was Paul's central message all throughout his ministry. Repent and turn to God and do works worthy of repentance. Acts 20 verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So they both go hand in hand, repentance and faith. Luke 24 verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So repentance cannot be separated from the faith, and repentance has fruits of work. So a faith that does not have works is unprofitable. Unprofitable. And something which is unprofitable, meaning you are wasting your time, and I am wasting my time. If I have faith without works, basically I am wasting my time and effort in whatever I am doing. In this word, prophet is used also in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 32. And it is translated as advantage. Advantage or benefit. The word means advantage or benefit. And Paul is talking about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 32. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage it mean if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So Paul is saying that what is the profit? What is the benefit of living like the way I'm living? I suffered at Ephesus. I risked my life at Ephesus. I'm going through all this trouble. Why shouldn't I take it easy and eat and drink just like any other Gentiles do? But he's looking for advantage and benefit, right? Profit. And that can happen at the resurrection of the dead, right? So that is the profit that we are looking for. We are looking for the better resurrection. That's what Paul was looking forward to. Jesus also spoke about this profit or benefit and advantage in the coming kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So, you know, anything, any profit or gain in this life, it cannot be compared to that profit or gain when the Son of Man comes in the glory of his Father and he rewards every man according to his deeds. So that is the great profit and benefit that Paul was looking forward to. And of course, James is talking about that. And that is the profit of the coming kingdom. And you know, it takes faith to lose our life in this world. It takes faith to have works of change and repentance. Now, and that is how we will gain a profit in the coming kingdom. So godliness is what is profitable. Okay? Not just words, but godliness. And godliness comes through works and work and exercise. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. So again, I think it's referring to empty words, right? That does not profit. That does not give us benefit in the coming kingdom. Refuse profane and old wives' fable, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So what a great verse this is. Godliness is what is profitable. Godliness. And if I obey Jesus Christ, if I deny myself, and obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, do the will of the Father, I will have godliness. And notice it takes exercise, it takes work, it takes discipline. So faith is not just enough. I need to have discipline and I need to apply it in my life, right? And this is what will profit me. Godliness is what will profit me. Profit in this life and also in the life to come. In Isaiah chapter 32 verse 17, it talks about profit. Okay, I think, and this is more in this life also that we will experience. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So if I live godly life, I will have peace in this life. Okay? I will have quietness and assurance. Many times people suffer because they are not obeying God's commandments. You know, that is, I think, one of the main reasons people go through trials. People suffer in this life and they don't have peace and they are worried and they are anxious and they are having emotional problems because they are not obeying God, right? But you know, when we obey God, when we deny ourselves, we find peace and righteousness and quietness and confidence. And then profit at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who live godly, those who are doing the will of the Father, you know, they are multiplying what God has given them, right? God has given us the Word of God. God has given us His mercy and His grace. You know, that is given to us by Jesus Christ, and we don't deserve it. That is His talent, right? That is His strength and power that God has given us. But you know, now it is up to us to use it, to exercise in our will and multiply it. We can multiply what God has given us. And we see that in Matthew chapter 25 verse 22. We see that a man who had two talents, I'll read the passage. He also which had received two talents came and said, Lord, Thou delivered to me two talents. Look, behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. So this man multiplied. He profited. He increased through the grace of God. Right? Through the strength of God. Through the covenant. Through whatever benefits that God has given us. This man, he said, look, God, You gave me this much. I have made this much. Then the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So this man gained, multiplied, he profited. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. So this man knew that God was looking for multiplication and for profit. It's more like, you know, people know the Bible, but they ignore it, right? Like those who believe that we don't have to work for our salvation, or, you know, we don't have to strive, we don't have to exercise, they don't preach these things. You know, probably they will say this at the judgment seat of Christ. If they didn't multiply, they'll say, oh God, I knew those passages. I knew that You had said all this. So, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that's the problem. You know, they're afraid. They're afraid to lose their life. They're afraid to walk by faith. Because it is unseen, right? To walk by faith, it requires some courage. That's what God told Joshua, that you will need some courage. Now, what you are about to do, you will need lots of courage. That's one of the problems. People don't want faith is because they're afraid. It's to walk by sight is much easy, and You don't need to have courage. So I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. So man, this, he was mad at him. And you know, this is what will happen if we don't work. If we don't work, this is what we will hear. And this is like, this should put fear in us. And we don't want to hear this from Jesus Christ. And sometimes we hear this from people also, right, in our life, like if we had bosses over us. Sometimes our bosses tell us this, that you have not been working. And they get mad and upset. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying, that he wants profit. He wants multiplication. He wants gain. He wants his grace to be used and multiplied. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strayed. So he knew God's will. He knew God's want to us to increase and multiply. Thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. So it goes on to say that this man was cast into outer darkness, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is going to be a very strict judgment. You know, if we don't apply what we know, if we don't profit the Lord, because you know, he's not given his grace for nothing. You can think about it that way, right? He wants results in our life. His talents is important to him. His grace is important to him. Whatever covenant he's made with us, whatever you know, power and strength he's giving us, it is important to him, and he wants to see results in our life. So then he, then in verse 15, James emphasizes that way faith should have works. Otherwise, it is useless. It is unprofitable, by giving an example. And that example is if you see a brother or a sister naked and destitute of daily food. So this is like he's giving an extreme example. That this is very obvious to you. That someone is in need. Extreme need of something. But you don't... you just say the right words, but you don't do anything about it. So he's asking the question, has that profited that person who was in need? Of course not. Of course, no, not. Right? He's like, he's in desperate situation, and your words has not profited him at all. So he's saying that just like your words did not profit that man, the same way, faith, if you don't put it in action, has not profited you at all. Okay, so because he says in verse 16, even so is faith. Faith, your faith is not profited at all if you have not put what you have heard into action. It's useless, it's unprofitable, it's been a waste of time. Probably it made that man angry who was in need. Your words made him angry instead of comforting him, made him upset and, you know, react to what you just said. So action is what is needed. That's what is verse 15 is saying. Action is what is needed when we hear about the coming kingdom. Otherwise, we are wasting our time. Otherwise, we are playing games with God. Otherwise, we are using our time and effort in something that is not going to last. Right? That's what Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So it's the same thing, right? Jesus is saying, don't call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do the things which I say. And we see that so many people use this, right? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And they think just by saying that, Jesus Christ is their Lord. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm not your Lord. Unless you do what I tell you to do, I'm not your Lord. And then he goes on to explain a parable. He says, whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which builds an house and digs deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently over that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. What a great picture Jesus is giving here. Man, his words are so important. Jesus is preaching, and preaching will save your life in the coming kingdom. And you know, what he's trying to say here is that those who are listening to him and doing what he's saying, they are the wise people who are building the house, who are building their life prepared for the future, right? They are building a house prepared for the future. They're not just building their life on sand. So that is wisdom, right? If you're building a house, you've got to make a great foundation. Because then anything else you build on it will be a waste of time. So the good foundation cannot be emphasized enough. The good foundation is what is going to prepare you for the flood and the strong weather and all the problems that are going to come in the future. And you know, he's saying that a man who is acting on his faith, he is a wise man, because he is getting ready to face the future. He is getting ready to face the judgment seat of Christ. He is getting ready to hear, "Well done and good, well done, thou good and faithful servant." But those who are not listening to Jesus, they are also building something. It's funny, right? They are also building, they are also busy. But you know, they have not put the right foundation. And what a fool. What a fool. Man, this is such a strong passage. We should be so careful of how we are building our life, what we are doing with our life. And you know, people are building great things. And we look at the house and we look at their life and we say, "Wow, what a great life." Like, what a, you know, it amazes and surprises us, right? Because we don't see the foundation. But you know, that day, it's going to be wiped away. It's going to be like obliterated, right? Like completely vanished and turned into dust. But those who have built on the right foundation, they will last. So this is so important. And Jesus is saying this is a wise man. So those who are acting on what they know, they are the wise people. They are getting ready for the future. They are prepared for the judgment day. They are prepared to what is coming ahead. And what is coming ahead is salvation, right? The judgment seat of Christ. So the future salvation is for the wise in one way, right? It's not for the fool who is building his life on the sand. So we need to work for our salvation. Salvation is not just by saying the right things, but we need to obey what we hear. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So Paul is urging his disciples to obey what they know is true. And that is how, through obedience, obedience is the work that Paul is talking about here. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So salvation needs to be worked at. Salvation is an diligence on our part. Otherwise, we will not have salvation in the coming kingdom. Philippians 3 verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ." So Paul was laboring for that salvation. And we have such great example in Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So Paul labored for his salvation. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we know the context is the resurrection, the better resurrection at the judgment seat of Christ. So in closing, good works goes hand in hand with faith, right? We cannot separate good works from faith. If works are removed, faith is dead. Faith is not bearing fruit. And therefore, we need to be zealous of good works, right? Zealous of good works. Good works is not something that we do once a while. Or once a while we feel like people in the world who don't know God. Once a while they get an urge, right? Maybe I should do something good today. And then maybe on a festival day or something, they go and do something good. But we need to be zealous for good work. Every day, every time, every opportunity we have, do good works. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Zealous of good works. So what are some of the things that will hinder us from doing the will of God? From doing the works of God? One thing is that it takes diligence to learn to do good works. Right? We naturally are not going to do good works. We naturally are self-oriented. We naturally want to please our own self. We don't want to do the will of the Father. But we can be good learners. And that's what James talked about in James chapter 1. That we should not be a forgetful hearer. A forgetful hearer is not a good learner. He hears and then he forgets. But a good learner is diligent in doctrine. He thinks about what he has heard about the Bible. He thinks about the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Then we learn through watching other people that are doing good works. We watch examples that we have in the scriptures, examples that we have in church, and through that we learn good works. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17, it says, "Learn to do well." Learn to do well. So these people didn't know how to do well. "Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the widow." Learn to do good well. Do well. That's a good verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So he's saying, take heed unto the doctrine. Continue in them means apply them and obey them. And in doing the doctrine, you will save yourself. So we should be diligent and good learners. There are many who don't want to learn at all, right? There are many people who maybe confess Jesus Christ, but they are not interested in learning the ways of God. Then we should understand that good works is going to take work and effort and pain, right? Good works does not come easily. There will be sacrifice involved and suffering involved. In First Peter chapter 2 verse 20, "For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your own faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." So one of the things that people don't want to do good works is because it involves suffering. It will involve pain. That is what discourages us, right? But he's saying that this is what pleases God. This is acceptable to God. When we do well and suffer for it, then good works will involve sacrifice. And in this example, just in verse 16, we just saw that this man did not give what this poor brother needed. He did not give. So why he did not give is because he did not want to sacrifice, right? He did not want to lessen his own pleasure or advantage or profit that he had. Then, in good works, we will get weary. And we should not get weary. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So another reason people are discouraged or people don't want to do good work is because we don't see the fruit now. We don't see the fruit immediately, and they get weary in well-doing. They get tired of it. Then they want to do something else. They are tired of obeying God. They are tired of following the Bible. But no, we have two great motivations to have good works, to endure when we are fainting, to sacrifice and to go through suffering. One is the fear of God. Fear of God is our motivation to have good works. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So fear of God is the motivation. And we need motivation, by the way, right? If we are going to do good works, we got to have motivation. Without motivation, we will not do anything. Right? We will just sleep probably on the bed and, you know, I don't know, maybe just watch the clock. But, you know, everything, we do everything because we are motivated for something. Everything is motivation driven. And to do good works, to apply works to our faith, we will need motivation. And one of the motivation Peter is giving here is the fear of God. Fear of God. That one day God will bring all our works into judgment. He will go through everything that we did. Everything. That should bring fear in our life. That should make us get up from the bed when we are supposed to get up from the bed, right? That should make us do what we are supposed to do. Because everything is going to be evaluated by God. Everything. Then, recompense of a great reward, of course, of a positive reward. This is the negative reward, but also a positive. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works shall be. So, of course, reward is both positive and negative, you know, but also the good things motivate us. Hope motivates us. Hope of a greater and a better country, right? A better kingdom, a better resurrection. These things are a great motivation, man. If that doesn't motivate, then I don't know what. And people without these things, man, how motivated they are. If you think about people who have achieved great things in life, they are so motivated. And that puzzles me many times, you know. Like when I see atheists or, you know, people who believe in evolution, or people who believe in crazy things, so motivated. And I wonder, like, why are they so motivated, you know? What is making them, like, do the right thing all the time? In the natural world, of course. It is amazing, like, people who don't know the Bible being so motivated. But how much more should we be motivated? We have been given a glimpse of the future, of the coming world. So the good, this also should motivate us. In closing, Titus chapter 3 verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So Paul is telling Titus, who's the leader of that church there, he's saying, these faithful things I want you to constantly affirm before the people. That they which have believed in God, they claim that I have faith, might be careful to maintain good works. these things are good and profitable unto men. So careful. The word here, important word here is careful. Not careless, not forgetful, but careful. And when you think of careful, you think of planning, you think of purpose, you think of motivation. You are planning this, right? You are not careless about this. Because if you are not careful, you will not do it. And I will not do it, right? Yeah. Because I have many other things to do, right? Carefulness is needed, right? After we know about the coming kingdom. So we'll stop here.